Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You're listening to some music Joseph Lindsley sent to us from Ukraine today. Joe, what are we listening to here?
Hey, Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv. A beautiful, bright, sunny day here, and I'm talking to you from a sidewalk cafe. This music is from a 19th century composer, Modest Mussorgsky, and this is from his piano suite, Pictures at an Exhibition. And this particular movement is called the Great Gate of Kyiv, which actually is a building right behind me at this moment. And so if you look at this later on YouTube by UkrainianFreedomNews.com, you can see one of the great symbols of Kyiv. It's actually a reconstruction of a gate that was built, one of the city gates from a thousand years ago. But this is the composer Mussorgsky came from Russia, but when you delve into Ukrainian history, so much of that the history comes from the Kievan Rus, the people that came from what is now Sweden and Scandinavia, and came and created this this civilization here based on the city of Kyiv. And this music is a tribute, I think, to that culture and tradition. As I'm sitting here, there's such a calmness in the city when there's no attacks. In the park behind me, surrounding that the Great Gate, it's called the Golden Gates. There's green lawns. There's people just sitting quietly, listening to a violinist or an accordion player on either side of the gate, which is a big brick and wood structure. There's cafes all around, and it's such a pleasant place to be. When you see everyone. You see moms walking their kids back from school. You see a nun walking down the street. You just soldiers, and everyone's kind of calmly in this together. I just interviewed about an hour ago the chief rabbi of Ukraine, Moshe Osman, who was born in Russia during the Soviet times, and then he immigrated to Ukraine. And I've shared with you all before, with the WGN audience, some of his music. He made a great music video several months ago about Kyiv. And it was a tribute to how much he loves the city and the spirit of this place. And it'll be a few weeks before we release this interview. It's part of a new podcast I'm making with local media here in Kyiv, Ukrainska Pravda, which means Ukrainian truth. The podcast is called Land of the Free, and we want to share Ukrainian voices in English, especially with an American audience. And so the rabbi will be one of our first guests. But there's a few things I wanted to share with you all about our conversation. He was saying he was born in Russia. He's tried to reach people in Russia. He said he no longer speaks with the chief rabbi of Russia, the current one. But he's tried to communicate with them. And he said, in Russia, people might be physically protected. They don't have missiles falling down upon them. But he said they're in a spiritual jail. They can't speak their minds. They can't think. And they don't have this kind of spiritual protection. He said, here in Ukraine, it's scary. And in fact, the rabbi himself, he came under shelling when he was volunteering to help the victims of the flooding caused by the Russian destruction of the dam near Kherson. And the rabbi was crawling on the ground as shells fell all around him. And so he said to me, in Ukraine, yes, it's scary. And in a sense, there's little physical protection. At any moment, you could be hit. But he says, spiritually, he feels protected here because spiritually, Ukraine is a free place. You can say whatever you want. You can criticize the president. You can ask questions. You can live with this total sense of freedom. And he said that's the most important thing, is to be spiritually free, spiritually protected, more than physical. And then he relayed this conversation to me that he had with a young Jewish boy in a shelter several months ago. And the boy was saying, we don't have to be afraid of ballistic missiles because, and this he's Jewish, he says, because we have Kabbalistic rockets, spiritual rockets, which give us strength and freedom, like the Kabbalah, that ancient sense of the mystery of the Torah. And so instead of ballistic rockets, Kabbalistic rockets, according to the rabbi, this is the great strength of Ukraine. And he said, and not just for the Jewish people, but for all Ukrainians. And so hopefully when we release that interview, I'll let you know when it's posted.
And a reminder that Joseph's videos, podcast, post, we have the links up on our website. So if you go to the Surratt Show page at WGNRadio.com, you can get that. I'm picturing you on a beautiful day sitting outside right now in a cafe. And, I mean, the spirit of the people there, it's unbelievable because you paint that picture, and yet I'm reading about a massive drone attack that Russia launched on Odessa and other areas in southern Ukraine overnight. But despite that, life not only goes on there, but the people's spirits they're undaunted, aren't they?
Yeah, and I especially felt that, you know, speaking with the chief rabbi, and you see we have, you know, surrounded by people who encourage each other. And, you know, I mean, I was in, as you know, last week I was in Kharkiv for about 10 days reporting, and it was a very intense week. I mean, there were many missile attacks, and every attack was a series of at least 5 Russian rockets hitting the city. And it's been quiet here in Kyiv, barely any air alarms the past few days. And when you find these moments of respite, you take it. If you can get a good night's sleep, you know, with no missile attacks, you seize that moment. But everyone is in solidarity. And so you're aware of what's happening, of course, in Odessa and other places, and knowing that it could happen at any time. But it's also important to take these moments. And I think it's hard sometimes when people in America, especially if we look at the presidential debate last night, and they think about the money going for Ukraine, and they feel the pinch in their own pocketbooks with you know, general cost of living in the U.S. And they see, you know, often you'll see online people share videos and photos of people in a nice cafe, say in Kyiv, and say, you know, why, you know, these people are not destitute. And that's the thing, they're not, the Ukrainians are not destitute. They're very self-sufficient, but the thing that they need that they can't get is, you know, the type of weapons that really come from the U.S. And this has been a big it's a big contention in the presidential politics right now. And then I saw Bob, your producer sent me a note from a listener about this, which ABC and many others reported, that the Pentagon said that it overestimated the value of weapons sent to Ukraine by $6.2 billion. And this has become a political talking point. People are saying, oh, there's some $6 billion missing. But the reality is that it was an accounting error by the Pentagon. And this tells us two things. One, the value of the weapons that is sent to Ukraine, it's an estimation. And even the Pentagon, in admitting this error, it makes it even clearer that it's not like dollar bills being printed. It's an estimation of the equipment that is sent, because this is old equipment that was bought a long time ago. Number two, Congress already authorized, you know, the Congress authorizes an amount, and so that doesn't mean there's an extra $6.2 billion flying around, but it means that there already has been approved X amount of money, and because the equipment was overvalued, the Pentagon has the legal right, due to the legislation, to use that to send other equipment without needing further approval. And so, and the third thing that shows us is that on the micro level, they're being very honest with the details. You know, they're being very precise. They're saying, we overvalue this. It was if you look, for example, the Bradley tanks, you could say, oh, well, we're going to send these Bradley fighting vehicles. We're going to send them to Ukraine. But we need to, you know, buy some more for us. But they don't make Bradley tanks anymore. And so that's how that error happened. Mm-hmm. But you see that they are being precise in the details. But in a larger way, this shows us like the fabric of dishonesty in Washington. They just throw out numbers in a way that can be used by both political parties for their own ends, either to say, look at what we're doing. We're spending lots of money, or we're spending too much money. What we need to do is explain, like, this is we're sending, often the case, equipment that we are not using, equipment that we are paying to store. What would be helpful is if our politicians and leaders would explain those things. And then there's a further element that, we're seeing the value of American equipment like the HIMARS and the Javelins, some things which we had stopped production on. And now production is starting again. And, you know, as I mentioned before, Poland is purchasing 486 HIMARS. United States only gave Ukraine 20 HIMARS, and that was, you know, it's like you get a free sample of something. 20 HIMARS we gave to Ukraine. We showed how effective they can be, And Poland is now buying in a $10 billion deal, 486. And if you look at the accounting of that, it looks like the United States is coming out with a net positive.
Yeah, it's a very, very good point you make. Let me end with this text that will make you smile. Hello, Bob. I just returned from 2 weeks in Germany. I was so pleased to see Ukrainian flags flying from public buildings in Dresden, as well as in the Czech Republic, Prague. Of course, in both cities, I sensed the history and knew that Russians occupied both and experienced that as a young boy. You're not the only one who reminds us of the history there, Joseph.
Yeah, it's important. You know, and I spent a lot of time in Prague. I was mentored by friends of Václav Havel, who was the leader of the Velvet Revolution. It was a group of artists and students who stood up to the communists in 1989, and they broke free. And, you know, it was hard to imagine, I think, that this Iron Curtain could come down again. And that's exactly what Ukrainians are standing. Ukrainians and everyone around the world who stands with Ukraine is saying we must not let this curtain fall once again. And so, yeah, it's important to look at that history again. Look at the movie The Darkest Hour about Winston Churchill and what happened in the 1930s. If we ever start to doubt why this fight matters today.
Great movie, yes, and worth seeing again, for sure. Joseph Lindsley, thank you. Enjoy your time in the cafe. I hope it stays peaceful there.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.